Damashek here. Make sure you check out the new episode of the Dave Damashek Football Program. Ike Taylor, Maurice Jones-Drew, Matt Money Smith, and I running around Draft Town here in Chicago, Illinois, talking draft and all other things. Check it out, NFL.com/podcast or iTunes.
All right, let's get it started. The 2016 NFL Draft is now officially open.
The Around the NFL Podcast received a first-round grade from Mike Mayock.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Honest question about Mike Mayock.
Mm-hmm.
Does he know that any of the four of us even roam the planet? Has he heard of any of us?
No chance.
I've talked to Mike Mayock a few times, and I got the impression he might be aware of my existence. I had introduced myself and even talked to him back when I worked at NBC and Pro Football Talk, so I don't know. There's a chance.
It's usually Greg that someone knows,
but
I once mistakenly...
But I'm not, I wouldn't bet on it.
I once mistakenly filed a post with Mike Mayock's byline, because it's right above mine in the list where you pull someone's name, and I quickly heard, not from Mike Mayock, but from a handler that said, get that down now.
Wow.
Someday you're going to have a handler.
The answer is no, by the way.
And that Thank you.
Probably no. Probably yeah. no.
I mean, Mayock, this is Mayock time. So he's kind of like the king of the world from, what, February through the first week of May, you know?
Please. It's our time. This is after the draft. NFL Network
to the
post-game show right now. Mayock's back preparing for day two. This is our time. They're not dropping an hour straight of fire like we did.
I love
it. We're about to.
It's about 20 minutes before 10 p.m. in the Pacific Coast as we record this podcast. Round one of the 2016 NFL Draft in the books. And what a eventful round one it was. I believe there were four trades in the round. There were five Ohio State Buckeyes players selected. There was one gas mask involved. I mean, there were things and a major trade that involved the Broncos getting a quarterback. This was, and there was a lot of, you know, a lot of talk leading up to the draft. It's not a great draft class in terms of, you know, pop, but this first round popped as an entertainment subject.
We're never going to have I don't know if we'll ever have a story like Laramie Tunsil again, but it is hard to imagine. We have never had a story like Laramie Tunsil before, and that story changing as the night went on, and I felt like I spent my whole night just updating my one Laramie Tunsil post, literally. It just kept getting wackier and wackier. I mean, I don't think we'll ever see anything quite like that ever again.
That's got to be – I mean, that might be the craziest, like, draft day story – ever. I mean, just that the, and it's such a 2016 story as well, that right before the draft starts, a guy that could have been a top three pick, a video surfaces of him taking a giant bong rip with a gas mask, with a Confederate flag behind him as well. Like, the whole video was wild.
Well, that's Ole Miss. You can't take a picture without a Confederate flag.
Outside of the flag, the device was impressive. The flag, not so much, but what a device.
I mean, it actually made me claustrophobic just looking at it. But just then the idea then that everyone that's watching immediately sees it and it's going nuts on Twitter, and then it starts the stories start to trickle out. What this means for this guy's his stock in the draft.
I was fascinated by the timing of it. All of these war rooms have to adjust on the fly. And for a guy, you know, Ian Rappaport reported, and Tunsil confirmed this afterward, that the video was from several years ago, and he passed all of his drug tests. So somebody's getting a good bargain here. Why is he sliding down draft boards?
Yeah. I think that's a fair question, but it's tough in the moment that you're just seeing this video. Now, I incorrectly...
Video means a lot in the NFL.
I incorrectly said on our Slack channel right away, I was like, oh, I don't think that'll hurt.
By the way, we
all
don't mention that. Client.
Our conversation. I didn't think it would be that big of a deal.
Well, I said, I think this, you know, this could trigger a slide for Tunsil, because if the Rams and Eagles hadn't taken as long as they did, there would have been even more chaos for teams to deal with, because the Chargers at number 3, prime landing spot, Greg immediately said, no, What did you say?
Well, I just thought it wasn't going to crush him because I was thinking like Wes.
I could tell Greg the sun will rise tomorrow and it will be bright and it will be hot. And Greg would say probably not.
Oh, by the way, he only slipped to 13. You know, Miles Jack slipped out of the first round. A lot of players in DJ, like a lot of people slipped much further than expected. He ended up not having as big of a fall as I thought once it started going. But we did get reports that he was taken off draft boards. It just freaked people out.
And I felt for the guy because not only they kept on cutting to him in the draft room, and you see the look in his face, and you can imagine his phones blowing up. And then you get Mike Mayock talking about, you know, this kid I don't feel sorry for at all. And then, you know, you have
better.
Yeah, and Eisen saying that video doesn't look that old. You know, there was a lot of judgment on the kid, and you couldn't help but feel terrible for him. So I actually felt I was happy for him when he went at 13.
If that was a keg stand, teams would have traded up for him.
That's true. I mean, what are we doing here? Like, half the country legally can smoke weed now. Now, the idea that he would have fallen, and it was all, again, on Twitter, because everyone was making judgments. Oh, this guy's going to be an undrafted free agent. I wonder who gets him. It's like, the guy smoked a little weed.
Well, it
was a lot. It was a lot of weed.
Well, the league's ruling on this is viewed by many, and rightly so, I think, to be antiquated. They're in the crosshairs of the whole country changing where they are on this.
Well, he'll be, you know, in the crosshairs in terms of, you know, taking drug tests and all that. And I'm sure the Dolphins will be talking to him about all that. But I think it was the I think it was the apparatus that it was. I think it was the intensity of the apparatus and the timing. And okay, now we know, and we even said immediately, like, oh, he got hacked. That also leads to another topic of like, what is going on that someone is going after this guy so much that they're putting this information that alone could freak people.
It's like a Skeletor supervillain after him. And you would think, like, imagine put yourself in this guy's shoes. Like, not only you became a multimillionaire today and you're a first round pick in the NFL, you realize your dream, but he has to be consumed with thoughts about who banged me in the biggest spot possible. How am I going to find this culprit and destroy him?
And he's not, you know, from his interviews right away on the main stage, he is getting quizzed about this. And he's probably still in his mind, as you say, picking up the pieces of what it should be the number one moment in his life, what he's been working for years and years, and the whole time as his name was falling from one team to the next, the look on his face said it all. I mean, you do feel for him for that.
Deion be like, was it your stepfather?
Right.
Like,
that was
like a surreal thing. Right.
Deion should do that. It was hard-hitting journo, Deion saying.
The way Deion did that blew my mind. It was one of the more surprising, amazing draft moments I've seen, and I'm glad he asked it too because it's
a question on everybody's mind.
His stepfather sued him a couple days ago, and there's a long backstory. We're not going to get into all that of legal problems.
Please
between
do. Break down the legal side of this.
You turn into Mike Wallace all of a sudden, Deion Sanders.
I mean, so everyone was kind of thinking that, and that's the crazy thing is it didn't end there. You know, after that moment, after he was on the stage, then in his Instagram account, which amazingly was just sitting there wide open, probably hadn't changed the password to that.
The 1234567 password?
A text exchange is posted between Tunsil and what apparently is some sort of Ole Miss official or coach with, you know, money being exchanged. And Tunsil's asked about in his press conference, and he admits to taking money from an Ole Miss official. And then he's escorted off the stage at the press conference.
He pulled up the stage with a cane with a hook at the end.
So that was like a whole separate thing. And meanwhile, there's like fake statements from an agent that people are actually falling for. And it's crazy. And you know what it all ends up with is the Miami Dolphins. They say Tunsil was the number two overall player on their board. And, you know, people always say that sort of stuff. But it's believable with this guy. It was a guy that was supposedly a top two or three player.
I think that was it ended up being a great pick for the Dolphins. I have one more theory, by the way, on this. What if, and it was a misguided notion, but what if he, right as the draft telecast was started, he tweeted out that video himself just because he wanted to show that he was kind of a cool dude that knows how to party but also could block like a mother effer.
Well,
that seems unlikely.
There's
a lot of holes in that theory. Well, and the look on his face would be the first hole. I mean, he seems stunned like any human.
It's probably not it.
He said he was hacked, so that would seem like,
which we always believe. I mean, in this case,
that's
I do.
It is the most believable hacked thing of all time. We should point out something we were talking about before we posted. This is something where it really tested a lot of people. It tested the on-air people to deal with a breaking news story like this during the draft, just a unforeseen thing. it tests an agent, like their crisis management skills. And it might have saved Laremy Tunsil that he has a big he has an agent, Jimmy Sexton, you know, who has whose client, I believe, is Adam Gase.
Adam Gase is Jimmy Sexton client.
Is known to have some pretty close ties with the Dolphins in terms of their clients and Ndamukong Suh and Tannenbaum has worked with this guy a lot, and he ends up getting drafted by the Dolphins. That's how
relationship
business
is made
sometimes.
And to Tunsil's credit as well, he comported himself very well with Dion on national television there, where a lesser in terms of somebody that wasn't mature could have like said some things he shouldn't have, and apparently he did a little later, but not in that public a spot. But all things said and done, it could have been a lot worse night than it ended up being for Laremy Tunsil.
Someone like Spice Rack would have folded on that stage.
What?
I don't know.
Wesling.
We were discussing Spice Rack, so it just came to mind.
Holding Spicy's feet to the fire.
We got to get Spicy on the pod next week to get his breakdown, and he also has to make his prediction to dig himself out of the Melvin Gordon hole of last year.
Well, last year he famously predicted if Melvin Gordon went to the Cowboys, he would lead the NFL in rushing as a rookie. So I texted him right before we got on the show to see if he thought the same way about Ezekiel Elliott, and he basically said yes, but I am not going to officially make that prognostication.
All right, well, that leads us nicely into the second thing we want to talk about here, which is Ezekiel Elliott goes to the Dallas Cowboys with the fourth pick overall, and this was a pick after Joey Bosa goes number three to the Chargers, Greg, and that was the first surprise of the draft. A lot of people connected the Chargers to offensive linemen. Phillip Rivers needs some more help there, but instead they go with Bosa. And, Greg, you noticed something when they showed the Cowboys war room after the Bosa pick to San Diego right before Dallas was on the clock.
Well, we've got a camera on the Dallas war room, and they're all, you know, back slaps and laughing, and suddenly Bosa goes off the board, and it just seemed like they had seen a ghost. It was just quiet and silent, and I don't know if panic's the word or whatever it was. They're just sitting there, and maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I did see some reports that they were high on Joey Bosa, and so who knows? Maybe that wasn't going to be their pick. We also saw a report that a team, the Ravens, tried to trade up to Dallas to draft Jalen Ramsey, and the Cowboys would not move off of that. So I think they were still very, very excited to take Ezekiel Elliott at number four. They clearly didn't want to move down. It turns out they probably could have moved down and still gotten Elliott and picked up a pick, but they played it safe and they took Elliott.
Ramsey ended up going number five to the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the buzz, and I wrote a post earlier before the draft that Ian Rappaport reported that the Cowboys were struggling with Jalen Ramsey versus Zeke Elliott. What are we going with here?
I think Zeke.
Zeke Elliott.
Ezekiel.
And Ezekiel. And Jarrah sounds like he won this power struggle 2 years after he got talked out of Johnny Manziel.
I think that this is a Jerry Jones type pick, but everyone in that room
such a Jerry pick.
It is, but they were somewhat. There was a morose feel to it.
I might be reading into things.
Maybe
I'm admitting that.
But it's fair. They were all backslapping and having a great time. Then it was like suddenly someone put nerve gas in the room. And then they're all happy again. So they were thrilled with Elliott. I think it's a good fit for Dallas. I mean, they haven't lost the memory. I think it's a Garrett pick, too. People talked about Garrett wanting Elliott as well. And you go back to what you were if Romo's healthy with that great offensive line to what you were 2 years ago if the rookie running back can play as they hope.
They could have one of the best offenses in the league. I thought the Bosa thing was really interesting to me, how surprised everyone was. The Chargers were connected to just about every player in the top 10 except Bosa. During the entire 2015 season, Bosa was number one atop everyone's boards, and then all of a sudden people were talking about him going seventh or eighth or whatever. Well, this guy's a monster.
Yeah, the only thing is, and I think it'll be fine, but they run a 3-4, and he was looked at as a better fit as like a Cowboys end in a 4-3, but forget it. He can play. If he plays like he did before, he could play in any
scheme. Teams now are so multiple playing both, including the Chargers, that they'll probably play more 4-3 because they have Joey Bosa, or he'll just have his hand in the ground. And you're right that almost all day people were there saying, well, if it's defense, it's going to be Buckner. Or if it's defense, it's going to be Ramsey. People disagreed. Or, you know, people were really going Ronnie Stanley big. And then, you know, and no one had Bosa, and it killed all the mock drafts.
I was going to say, are you saying nobody actually knows anything despite all those months
of good job by San Diego
of course,
smoke screening?
Literally no one said Bosa. No one. No one was saying that is the favorite to be the pick. No one was even mentioning him among the four or five names there. So it really does show, for all the information that we get, in terms of guessing who's going to take what, no one knows anything.
I mean, they didn't even have to smokescreen, because once the first two picks got locked in, they essentially had the first real pick of consequence in the draft when you're trying to figure things out.
They wanted to trade down, and so maybe they thought they could have traded down to six or something still got Bosa.
I love the Cowboy pick, by the way, because if you think about it, they have this – game-changing offensive line potentially, and there are people are making some comparisons to Adrian Peterson with Elliott, and if he turns out to be the real deal, you have Tony Romo, 36 years old, all beat up. Now you could change your offensive dynamic a little bit. You have this guy that built for the Cowboys type talent. I think it makes them more fun to watch, and I think it makes sense for the team. So I think it works on both.
You've got your triplets part two, if you want to call it that. If it wasn't part eight at this point.
Right. But you could argue they're putting almost too many resources into the running game and into one thing. But I tend to agree with you, Dan. One thing I thought when I did that redraft of the last year's rookie classes,
humble break,
is three down running backs like Todd Gurley and David Johnson are a relatively scarce resource in the NFL right now. Like, as they would say, foundation backs that can be really good on every down, that can be a power goal line back and a great third down back and make people miss in space and in small holes. And by all accounts and from everything I've seen, Elliott is that guy. Maybe it isn't quite as dynamic as Todd Gurley, but is definitely as complete.
Well, and they talk about him as being, and Romo has become one of the smartest quarterbacks, that Elliott is one of the smartest running backs coming out of the draft they've seen in a long time, and an excellent blocker. If anything catches rookie running backs, is they're not good blockers. It takes time to adjust. They're off the field on third down. They say he is a phenomenal blocker.
Right, and so if there's only five or six of those guys in the league, that's a scarce resource, and it's worth a lot. I think if they were redoing the draft, David Johnson should go in the top 10, and Todd Gurley would go in the top 3. And so if Elliott is really kind of in that range, why not take him? Alfred Morris isn't going to like it.
You don't pass on studs. Look at the Adrian Peterson draft. How do you think the Cardinals felt about drafting Levi Brown instead of Adrian Peterson? Because you're drafting for need instead of Peterson, when I saw him in college, I thought he was the best running back I'd ever seen.
Do you still think Darren McFadden's going to top 1,000 yards this year?
R.I.P. Darren McFadden's fantasy value.
How about R.I.P. Alfred Morris, period? What do you think Big Al was thinking when he heard the news? Is he even going to be on that team, I guess?
He was thinking, I should have re-signed with the Redskins, whatever they offered.
Redskins didn't want him.
All right, so that's the very top
10 fantasy pick. How about that? Let's go throw in some fantasy.
I'm with you on that.
Got to be.
Right off the bat, rookie year, he's a top 10 fantasy player.
It's got to be. Yeah, he's going to be.
Top 15. I mean, that's not even a bold
heavy
prediction.
Favorite for rookie of the
year. Well, they're a run-heavy offense. That's what they want to be.
Yeah. All right, so let's bounce around a little bit. So that's what happened at the top of the draft. Third thing we want to talk about, because it was such a big story in the NFL for really months, the Denver Broncos win a Super Bowl with a broken-down Peyton Manning. They have Brock Osweiler waiting in the wings, but nope. The Houston Texans steal him away with a massive $72 million contract. So the Broncos need a quarterback. They trade for Mark Sanchez. Nobody takes it seriously. He'll be the backup. They'll get Colin Kaepernick. That will finally happen. That deal never comes together. And guess what? John Elway's got to make a move on the day of the draft. And what does he do? He trades up 5 picks in the first round and gets his quarterback. It is Memphis passer Paxton Lynch. Goes to the Denver Broncos. They have their quarterback of the future. But my question, and Wes, we'll start with you on this. Everything, because I tracked Lynch very closely in the past week or so because he kept on being connected to the Jets. Everything you heard about this guy was that he was a project, and he'd never played under center, and he'd never been in a huddle or read a defense at the line of scrimmage. This is a team defending a Super Bowl title. And it makes sense to me that Mark Sanchez is going to be the starter because this guy won't be ready by September 8th.
Yeah, I remember last year when that was the scouting report on Marcus Mariota. Then he went out and became the only quarterback in NFL history to post a perfect passer rating.
I mean, he was the number two pick of the draft.
Still, we don't know if these guys are NFL ready. That was the book on Mariota, starting with Mayock saying this guy needs a year.
Name another guy.
Oh, there's all kinds of guys where they say they need time, and sure, then they get thrown right
he
in.
He said that about Tannehill.
Yeah, they always say
he needs 10 years.
If you draft a guy in the first round, generally over the last 10 years, first-round quarterbacks start week one. And to me, I love the way John Elway has played this all along. Look, what are the 49ers going to do? There are reports they're just going to release Colin Kaepernick now, that there's no trade market for him. So Elway gets a 6'7" passer more talented than Brock Osweiler, paying a quarter of the salary after everyone acted like the hand-wringing over not signing Brock Unitas to a $20 million a year contract. Give me a break.
Yeah, but they developed that guy for 4 years. They wanted to pay
him. They developed a guy who got benched for the washed-up version of Peyton Manning.
But that was not just about skill level. That was about a lot of heat with Peyton Manning.
All right, but now look who's sitting pretty. John Elway sitting pretty. This guy is
– is Mark Sanchez possibly starting for a defending
Exactly.
Super Bowl champion?
Yeah, but look what he just pulled off.
That's fine.
Look
exactly
what he just pulled off.
What did he pull off? What do we know about this guy?
It's not. We may not know much about him, but if you go read from scouts, some of them, what they say is, look, you can have your Goff and your Wentz. We understand why they're 1 and 2. But what Paxton Lynch has from a tools angle is incredibly enticing, and maybe he does need time. But the dude has a cannon arm, and for 6'7", he can move. He's a good fit for that offense.
Absolutely.
The tools are there. Perfect for bootlegs, so it's fine that they have Sanchez. Maybe they don't start him right away, but all this nonsense, we were told Blake Bortles wasn't going to start, and they're going to have Chad Henne go through 16 games. By week 5, that was nonsense.
Yeah, but how did the Jaguars do that here?
Listen, the throne of ease is in trouble
Blake Bortles
because John Elway has it right now. He's sitting on top of NFL Mountain on his throne.
A good GM knows not to overpay and absolutely like ransom and hijack your salary cap, and Elway refused to do that. And he was smart enough not to show enough interest in Lynch where they got him. I think General John Elway.
I don't think
he
refused to do that because Osweiler got $18 million offer instead of 16. I mean, he was ready to pay 16. He went and got 18 elsewhere.
Obviously, he drew a line in the sand.
Right, he did, and I think he deserves credit because I think you should, if you're in a position like Elway, you should be taking a real quarterback every year until you find one. And he found one. Not only that he would draft, but that he liked enough to trade up for. He gave up a third-round pick.
And that other teams had ranked as the best quarterback in the draft.
And this is a team that has needs. And I think one of the biggest – I don't know. I'm not ready to say the Broncos are some big winner because it's a first-round quarterback. It's a 50-50 thing. But I think Paxton Lynch is the biggest winner of the entire day because if he's got to succeed in the NFL to be on this team and in this system and with Gary Kubiak, you could not be in a better position. But I don't know why, but I kind of buy the whole Lynch has to wait a while thing because I don't think the Broncos are going to want to rush him into this. And I do think we're going to be seeing Sanchez starting for the defending champion, which is crazy. Or maybe they add another veteran.
And that's why and that would be interesting too. That'd be a lot of cooks in the kitchen,
like a Hoyer or something, just to have another option.
But that's why I still think ultimately, maybe long term, Elway should be lauded for making this move and getting a first round quarterback with a lot of tools. But I still think it wasn't handled well if Mark Sanchez is the guy behind center when you're trying to defend a title, because that's the ultimate. When you're a defending champ, it's win now. You can't be more win now than that. And you don't kick chances to repeat as champion. And
not
Mark
a young
Sanchez,
right.
Mark Sanchez ain't winning the Super Bowl this year.
John Elway.
And if Mark Sanchez cedes to a rookie that's never been in a real offense before, he's not going to win a Super Bowl either.
They're a unique Super Bowl champion, though, because not often do you see a team that wins a Super Bowl lose everything at quarterback and have to start over. And it's not been a good – yes, you can go have gotten Colin Kaepernick, but Colin Kaepernick's much better in April than he is in September.
Hey, we saw it once, and we saw what happened to the Ravens the next year when they defended. I mean, they chose to get rid of that quarterback.
Has John Elway given any of you any reason to be skeptical of
acumen
as a GM?
No, but
he hasn't
given
me any reason. And he's been to 7 Super Bowls as a player in GM.
I agree.
His feet aren't to the fire.
I can say Sanchez will be the starter, and that's a problem, but he went out and swung for the fences with a prospect. Exactly. They have an exciting young prospect. What more can you ask for?
One thing I think you can question, I think he's been obviously one of the best executives in the league since he came in. One thing he really knows he needed, and he's talked about this a little bit, he needs to start having good drafts. And he just traded, you know, he got the quarterback, so he just lost another pick in this draft. His best player drafted over the last 3 years is who? Bradley Roby?
Well, Ike Taylor considers him one of the top three cornerbacks in the NFL.
Right. I think Bradley Roby is a pretty good player, but he doesn't have many impact players.
Malik
for
Jackson
the last
just
three.
Got what, $80 million?
That was
drafted
4 years ago. I'm
more than some teams, though. Elway used free agency more than other GMs
Absolutely.
Would, and he built an excellent team.
He just was talking about that he needs to start replenishing.
That's
it
fair.
With some draft picks because they're a little bit thinner than you would expect. The crazy thing, the thing I love about Elway, though, is there's still that, like, competitive player to him. And I don't think it's any mistake. The second he makes this pick, he goes on the record and says, we're out of the Kaepernick sweepstakes. And,
right.
to me, that is like, you messed around with us long enough, Kaepernick.
Yeah.
You're done.
Right.
You're done, son.
All right, so that's the big news with the defending Super Bowl champions. Let's now move to another team in the AFC. The AFC North, that is, they are the Cleveland Browns. And, Mark, you are a Browns fan. And, you know, the Browns, when it comes to draft day, they're always, always good for entertainment. Full of heart from start to finish, delivers on the great tension of the NFL draft while showing how human the entire process is.
Oh, God.
Mark Sessler, NFL.com.
You're out of your mind.
Yeah, I am. Haven't I proved that already?
I cannot stand any of you. I blocked whoever sent that to me. And
you did?
Yes, because, right, it was like 6 in the morning.
Wes retweeted.
A little, yeah, I retweeted.
You're in my doghouse.
For a little bit of history, that's when the movie Draft Day in 2013 about the Browns came out. Mark was something from our review was taken
well,
out and
no.
used as a press.
Wait, so what Dan read was actually used as a
unfortunately,
review.
And listen, I like when we came out of
not
that movie,
the audio, not
I
the
saw
audio
that
version.
Movie with you guys, and I said a solid B, and that's what Wes...
I still
solid
like
B.
it.
I think it's been maligned, I get it. But then I tweeted something saying, you know, we saw it, we liked it, and the company, the production company, wrote, DM'd me basically and said... Can you write something? And I went on vacation immediately after. I had a couple glasses of wine at my parents' house and wrote this paragraph about the movie, and they cobbled together parts of it and created that sentence. Now, that said, I did type it. I should never have done it, and I'm not living it down even still. And I blocked that guy that sent that.
Did you really block him?
I will unblock him. It's not a personal thing, but
wow.
I saw good right away. I saw Dan likes it. Wes likes it. I said, this is going to end up on the show, so I'm going to block it until the show passes. And it still got on the show. Brandon, you are in my TD zone right now.
By the way.
By the way, can I just enjoy this.
You got to own it.
This is genuinely funny. You should enjoy
it. For you it is, Greg.
I actually did.
For the usual.
I privately IM Greg this morning because I didn't want – I thought it would be funny because it was – we haven't seen it in a while, the blurb. So when somebody said it, it's like, oh, man, that is – if you think we bring up on the pod, Mark will get too angry. And Greg said, no, it'll be all right. It's innocent.
I am not angry because
I didn't
had the day
that.
Been a disaster, I would not have enjoyed that. I'm fine with it.
But the day wasn't a disaster,
was it,
Mark? Because the Cleveland Browns traded out of the top 10, so the Browns are going nuts. Of course, they started this draft with, what, the second pick?
Mm-hmm.
They traded down to number 8, got a bunch of picks from the Eagles, and then they traded out again with the Tennessee Titans. To the number 15 pick, and then they get exactly the type of guy they needed, didn't they, Mark?
Well, after years of Ray Farmer saying, I look around the league and teams prove to me that you don't need to draft wide receivers. We're just going to pick them up off the street or the local high school or whatever it is. And finally, with Hugh Jackson in-house in the new front office, they said, that is not how you win in the NFL. We're going to get a playmaker. And they got Corey Coleman from Baylor, who Dan and Dan's father-in-law have watched plenty of. And, Dan, you know more about him than I do. You love the guy.
I am not a guy that knows a lot about, you know, the college. See, I follow it. The closest I'll follow college football is when my wife's parents come into town, which is once every, you know, 2 months or so, and I always will end up watching Baylor games. And then I'll occasionally catch them alone as well because I am intrigued by them because my wife's entire family went to that school. And Corey Coleman was a guy that jumped out at me every time I watched them because it was like a man against boys where it seemed like every game he had 250-yard touchdowns. And Bob Bates, DDS, my father-in-law, actually, Mark, texted me after the pick, and he said, and he's a big-time Baylor guy. Bob Bates is such a big Baylor guy that he has season tickets to the men's basketball, women's basketball, men's football,
whoa,
and I think the baseball and softball programs. This is what he's
booster.
He's retired. And his text to me, Corey and RG3, Browns are going to the Super Bowl. Tell Mark there is hope for the Browns.
And a third Baylor player.
Oh, wow.
All right, that's
Brandon
fine.
Now.
Brandon's just slipping very easily into the troll seat. But, I mean, honestly, if you get Josh Gordon back, you have three Baylor players right there. But here's the player side, and they talked about him being the number one receiver on their board when they mined down the board to get him, and they got their guy. But in the next two drafts off of these trades, they get an extra third round, two fourth rounders, a 2017 first, a 2018 second, and another 11 picks in this draft. So people are asking, what
and
is
another
it?
Second next year, too, because of the trades today.
People are asking, what is the front office going to be about? Oh, can Sashi Brown handle it? Is he going to handle it when the phone starts?
Pick up the chisels.
I would say that he's done an excellent job. The whole group of them together has done a job where they haven't gotten fleeced in any of these trades. I think they've gotten value, and they got a player that Hugh Jackson obviously likes. You checked all my boxes. I'm fine. I'm out.
I like this electric Josh McCown to Corey Coleman connection. And
well, I don't know about that. There's a lot more pieces that need to be put in.
It's funny because I do remember, Mark, you said a while, like it was just 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, that you were like, are they going to just trade down again and put it all off?
Well, I wanted Carson Wentz. Yeah. I wanted him, but I'm willing to go with their vision, and I see that they are truly building the roster from the ground up. You have to.
And that is that's a good call because this by all accounts, especially if he becomes Corey Coleman becomes a star receiver, it will be seen as a good first round for the Browns. But if Carson Wentz becomes a stud, the Browns will never live it down. So that all remains to be seen. But they filled a need, and it's for a franchise that lacks any excitement. Now you have a guy, Wes. I think you read that there are some comparisons to Odell Beckham. You know, that type of playmaker potentially.
Roto World, which is really good on draft coverage, they study this stuff religiously for
months.
Didn't
you guys build that brick by brick?
Greg
physically,
did.
You exaggerate that. You exaggerate that.
Roto World had this effusive praise comparing him to Odell Beckham, that he in college outplayed everyone else on the field. And we also heard DJ compare him to Steve Smith.
I've heard those are Antonio Brown ones, too.
Those are some great names to be compared to.
Yeah, he's a fun player to watch with the ball in his hands, you know, from what I've seen. I mean,
well, then they have one of those.
Right. And there's
how about Gary Barnes? Like, you forgot about me, Mark.
One and a half.
I can make a bunch of plays with ball in my hand, including getting in the end zone. I'm quiz in, mate. Quiz in.
One and a half players like that.
Like, we think that these trades, like the Ricky Williams trade or the Herschel Walker trade, doesn't happen anymore, and they don't. But for that number two pick, in a couple years, we will look at the six players that the Browns picked up, and we'll see how good those six players are. But that's what they turned that into, and they're all first three-round picks. So that's pretty impressive that they're going to get six players for that pick, and you just hope
Moneyball.
You can hope they could do it. And the Titans, you know, who knows how good Jack Conklin's going to be. I thought when they were trading back up, they were going to trade up for Tunsil. And that I think that's two spots where you look back and you think that's where Tunsil would have been taken.
Right.
Because Aditi Kinkawala reported for NFL Network that the Ravens were going to take Tunsil at six, but because of the video, they took Stanley. The Titans were pretty closely linked to Tunsil at number one, and they trade up for Conklin. So that's two different spots where you would have seen Tunsil go. Maybe the Titans won't look good there. Maybe they got too freaked out.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Not the Titans.
So Corey Coleman, the first wide receiver off the board, gentlemen, but he wasn't the last, but there was something historic happened in this draft, and it happened, late in the first round, specifically picks 21 through 23, three consecutive wideouts come off the board. That's never happened before. The Texans move up one spot with the Redskins and take Will Fuller, the wideout out of Notre Dame. Then the Redskins take Josh Dotson from TCU, and then the Vikings and my close Vikings friend Greg back from home in the coal mines, very excited on text when the Vikings got Laquon Treadwell from Ole Miss, a guy that we were seeing in some mocks as being the first guy, first wideout off the board. So the Vikings get Treadwell, which is a big pickup for them because I don't know, you know, how big a fan people are in this room of Stephon Diggs, but he did some nice things last year, but he's not a stud. You add another receiver there, and you're starting to get somewhere with that offense because it's a big year for Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, the thing with Stephon Diggs and last year with Mike Wallace, too, was they were pushed around. Those wide receivers weren't physical in any way, and that's basically the book on Treadwell, that he is physical. I think he's the perfect fit for them.
I mean, he is built in a way where he got some comparisons to an Anquan Boldin. He's not a speedster, but he is at the point of catch.
I love
very
those
physical.
Guys.
Exactly.
I love watching him.
They don't have that. Is anyone surprised, though, that Treadwell was – I think with wide receiver, it's a position where teams – look specifically for someone that fits their current system, and that could be one guy versus the next. Maybe it's not the universally most talented guy, but for Treadwell to go fourth, I was surprised.
Well, he ran a 4.6. That's the thing. People get so caught up on that, just like Bolden, you know, ran a 4.6, and that killed his draft stock. He didn't even go in the first round. I think that hurt him, and I didn't think people thought he was that far ahead of the rest of the group.
Ian tweeted that the Vikings think he's going to pick up speed. He's going to get faster because he had that gruesome leg injury a year ago, so he's another year removed from that.
And Treadwell gets the award, by the way, of the most bummed out interview post-draft interview. He was pretty upset when Deion was talking with him because he just didn't have a lot to say, didn't have a smile on his face. Mm. Some of these guys, they got to, you know, have a little more perspective, though, because he still ended up going, you know, number 23 in the entire NFL draft, and he, you know, his life just changed. But, you know, there's ego involved here, and he thought he'd be the first one off, and he ended up being the fourth guy off amongst the wideouts.
Yeah, I mean, he's thinking of who did the Vikings take, seventh overall or whatever. I mean, there's been some receivers without great college resumes that have gotten taken a lot higher, so you get disappointed. But he gets to play indoors. You know, that's a good thing. Shout out to Michael Berger. Remember his little pressure points?
Oh, yeah.
The wide receiver run that he basically called in the early 20s.
He did. And he,
it happened.
And Berger is a Bengals fan, and you have to look at the Bengals as a loser in that dynamic because,
yeah.
And maybe it's because Corey Coleman went to the Browns up at 15. You have three in a row to the Redskins, Vikings, or to the Texans, Redskins, and Vikings, and it's the Bengals who really needed a wide receiver at number 24, and they did not get one.
One last thing on Treadwell from Connor Orr's Twitter account. They asked him about seeing single coverage, being in offense with Adrian Peterson, and he answered, "Sounds like the Super Bowl to me."
I like it. I like it. What, you know,
little premature.
Excited. A little premature, potentially. What do you guys think the Redskins, there was some pop, and I think Mayock talked about it a little bit. And some on Twitter, people were surprised that they didn't focus on defense more. They seemed to not have a big problem scoring points last year with Cousins' breakout year, but they went wide receiver and Fuller.
They have a ton of wideouts.
Right. It's a position of strength. I mean, you have Pierre Garçon. You have DeSean Jackson. And you've got a great rookie receiver last year in Jamison Crowder.
You got Andre Roberts. Ryan Quinn had his moments.
I'm not going to be on that team.
Wow.
I think it just says Pierre Garçon or DeSean Jackson is not on this team next year. But people thought
– In 2016 or 2016?
No, in 2017. People thought maybe one of those two guys, especially Jackson, could be a surprise cut this year. And now it seems like one of those two guys will almost certainly be.
Not good news for six-string wideout Laron Bird.
Laron Bird's like, damn! Bro, I'm banged.
Former Arizona Cardinal, Laron Bird.
Well, he may have to go back to the Cardinals.
Wait, did you say Jairus Bird?
Jairus Bird. Jairus.
A little bit of a stretch.
It is his cousin.
But they just need to let – the Redskins need to let that guy fly, though. All right? He's all the way down there. Mm. They just need to let him go, let him fly.
That's true. I mean, this is – Kirk Cousins, if ever – maybe they're just worried about the Kirk Cousins backslide. They're going to prevent it. I mean, he's got about as many weapons as anyone going.
Yeah, that's fair. Let's talk about – so we talked about
You add Vernon Davis to that group. Watch out.
All right. Uh-oh. Let's calm down on the Vernon.
It's a bridge too far, Greg.
Do you actually buy in on a Vernon Davis?
No, but they have Jordan Reed and like four good wide receivers now, and Matt Jones, who I
like. Did, Vernon Davis did tweet out a picture of his body recently. Banging bod. I mean,
that's never been an issue.
Very well built, but does he care about the game of football? We'll find out only in the 2016 NFL season, sponsored by America.
Exclusively on NFL
wow.
Network.
Exclusive. Well, that's not true, but somewhat on NFL Network. All right. So, yes, Laramie Tunsil, he drops down the draft board to 13, but he should count his blessings, whatever that means, because one man that fell completely out of the first round, and it's very sad when they cut to that green. I don't even know if they should do the green room thing. It's kind of sad when they, as the round starts to get later, and these guys, they're after walking the red carpet and the weeks of hype, now they're getting in their mind. I'm sure they feel embarrassed they're not being picked.
You got to have drama for the casual fans.
That's fair. Okay, but I'm just thinking from a human standpoint. That's all. Miles Jack, who of course people have said is a real potential All-Pro talent, but also a guy with a knee injury. That I believe Rap Sheet reported this morning, which really spooked me when it came the Jets' time to pick, that is not expected by multiple teams to last to a second contract. So you're talking about a guy that might have a shelf life of 4 or 5 years because of the damage in his knee. Enough teams were spooked that he did not go in the first round, which was a surprise because in a lot of mocks and a lot of people speculated he was a guy that can go anywhere from, 8 to 15, maybe to 20 range. But the idea that he fell all the way out, that was one of the big surprises of the first round.
Yeah, and he basically admitted that the potential is there for microfracture surgery. And Darren Gann of Pro Football Talk asked Dave Gettleman if he was surprised that Miles Jack was still on the board late in the first round. And Gettleman said not after what he said today, after he admitted that the microfracture was a possibility.
Two potential landing spots. If teams, there's a lot of risk there, but a team like the Cowboys at number 3 in the second round, or maybe the Ravens at number 5.
Here's the thing, though. He played last year. It's not like he's coming off of a crazy injury. I mean, he was the number 2 player on DJ's big board based on his play, and nothing has really changed since then. Now, I'm not saying I know anything more medically. Obviously, the medical concerns are massive, but he was just playing football at an extremely high level, and you do wonder, sometimes these guys fall too far because of this stuff. Star Lotulelei is one guy that everyone got spooked about his physical issues right before the draft. It hasn't been an issue at all for him, so who knows? It seems like a guy, just based on his skill set, that he can do everything, that he can cover, that he can be, he can track, and that he's worth a shot, in the second round. Doesn't seem like he's going to go too much further.
Reminds me of Daquan Bowers, who was being talked about as the first pick overall in the draft and slid to late in the second round?
Yeah, that was in the
60s. Doctors said the same thing. This guy's going to need microfracture.
And you know what? With him, the slide was warranted. He never really was an explosive player. So, who knows? That's sad, though.
It is sad. It is sad. Also, someone that fell down the first round a little bit, Robert Giudice, defensive tackle from Miss, goes to the Arizona Cardinals.
Ole Miss, I believe.
Miss, excuse me. Of course, I knew that. He goes to the Arizona Cardinals, the defending NFC West champions. That feels like a nice fit. But there is a lesson to be learned. That we were ahead of the curve on this. We knew this could be a problem. So let's just have some fun and talk about it a little bit. Let's sing.
Q
Kim DJ, Kim DJ, Kim DJ. Why did you fall out that window? Kim DJ, Kim DJ, Kim DJ. Why did you fall out that window? It almost certainly affected your draft stock. You fell down the board as well. That's it, Irishman.
I dare say that is by far your finest piece of music yet. And you have had many songs that you've sung on this podcast. That almost sounded professional.
I'd agree. I think that somehow that song needs to get to him because it's going to lift his spirits. I'd say something else. More of us should fall out windows if what it means is you wind up with the Cardinals because there's no better team in the league right now.
In a song
take, fall out a window.
Listen. The Cardinals have shown they can do this.
By the way, if I get drafted next year, that's going to be my walk-up song.
Drafted into what?
Dan song. But, well, just in case.
Drafted to Bleacher Report. Listen, the Cardinals did the same thing with Tyrann Mathieu, right? Like, they take Honey Badger, a team that just rolls down draft boards. We can't handle this guy. He's too unmanageable. And Arians has shown that when he trusts a player and he likes him, and if Steve Keim's on board, they completely alter that guy's career.
You know why?
This is the perfect landing spot.
Because no risk it, no biscuit.
Mm. I think
unlike Honey
Badger, Wes was setting you up by the way to at the same time say no biscuit. So why don't you let's try it again? Go ahead, Wes.
Know why?
No risk it.
No, wait. No.
What?
He starts it, and then you say at the same time no biscuit.
No risk it.
No biscuit. No,
Wes, you were supposed to say it too.
This is a mess.
All right, one more time.
Why does only Dan know what's supposed to happen?
Well, maybe that
is that's what you
maybe
were
that
thinking
isn't
the first
organically
time, right?
What was
it
about
was
to
not
happen.
What I was thinking, but I appreciate your vision.
All right, well, I'll be the role of Mark.
Why am I getting bumped?
No risk it.
No biscuit. And a high five. That's
I was not the
it's
one
like
that
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
I don't know why I got bumped from that skit.
I certainly gave you many tries there.
Well, the second was on Wes.
Speaking of which, you mentioned the walk-up songs, Greg. Did you have anybody have any takeaways on the walk-up songs? The one that which we publish exclusively on NFL.com about 30 minutes before the start of the draft. Every draft prospect gets to select their own song. It's usually hip-hop heavy. Speaking of Kim DJ, who fell out that window, he had by far the most interesting, intriguing choice, Lazarus, which was the first single and the final first single from David Bowie before his death. He went with Lazarus, which is kind of like a slow, low tempo, some longing saxophone in there. Just a really interesting choice by Kim DJ, who's an interesting dude.
Very interesting. That's the most interesting team in the league. Unlike Honey Badger, like people have questioned his effort level sometimes, and certainly his production in college was not like a Honey Badger type where he was producing a lot all the time, but man, that's a fun team. As for the walk-up songs, I recognize six or so, which was a bigger number than last year, so I feel like I'm getting hipper.
I threw out
There are a couple songs that are not from this decade in there too, so
I threw out a way to find out how cool you are, which is you there's 26 songs here and then multiply how many you know by four, scale 1 to 100. So if you can get like a 75, that's really good, because a lot of this is you got to be a young cat. Although, I do Jack Conklin, the offensive tackle, Big Gun by AC/DC, one of the only rock tracks on this. I like that he didn't go with like a too on-the-nose AC/DC song. Reggie Ragland, maybe that's why I didn't get drafted.
PSA by Jay-Z, that's a good choice.
Ragland like went with Mo Money,
Your
Mo
Jets
Problems.
Pick.
We got to retire that one.
Teams don't like that.
What? Oh, yeah. Which one had a...
Your Jets pick, right? Wasn't it?
Yeah. Where is he?
Public service announcement.
Oh, Jay-Z. PSA. Yeah, I love that's one of my favorite Jay-Z songs.
According to your formula, I couldn't be any less cool, but I'm not sure that I measure it based on draft picks and their little songs.
Yeah.
Is it fitting that Carson Wentz went with Flyover States?
Yeah, I saw a lot of people had a similar comment. Jason Aldean, who's a country artist, I believe.
Because North Dakota is a flyover state?
Exactly, giving a little shout out.
And Jared Goff went with California Love. Hey, let's do a little 8 o'clock delight. All right, this is how we'll do it. I'm going to throw it around to you guys. I'm just going to a draft pick at random. Mark Sessler, Jared Goff, number one pick to the Rams.
I like it. It cements the fact, the way that the Rams used their full time to do this and waited all up until tonight to make this pick, that the NFL and the Rams are absolutely in love with each other, and it is a beautiful romance.
Does it feel like, and maybe I shouldn't say this,
it's a little ridiculous,
on an NFL property, does it feel like the fix was in a little bit, this whole thing? They got the number one pick the first year in L.A. I say no more. I will shut up.
Saturday League figures approaching.
Chris Wessling, Eli Apple, New York Giants.
Yeah, I don't know much about him. He's a young guy. They need cornerbacks. Good pick, I guess.
The guy is good in the kitchen.
They need to keep adding defensive parts, and he is good in the kitchen, as we know.
Tall.
Carl Joseph, safety, Oakland Raiders pick 14. Wes, again.
Scouts love this guy. They could not be more effusive in their praise. He's a torpedo. Basically combines Bob Sanders' hard hitting with Earl Thomas's range and drew comparisons to Brian Dawkins. I love everything about this pick.
He didn't get knocked at all for tearing his ACL.
It happened in the fourth game of the year. He expects to be ready for training camp. I love it.
Greg Rosenthal, pick six for the Ravens. Ronnie Stanley, tackle out of Notre Dame.
Oh, Ronnie. A lot of people didn't think there was a huge difference between Ronnie Stanley and Tunsil. But this is a pick. If Tunsil's better than Stanley, the Ravens will be questioning themselves because they wanted Tunsil more.
New York Jets, pick 20. Darren Lee, outside linebacker, Ohio State. Dan, well, this is what I'll have to say about this one. I think they needed an outside linebacker. I'm happy they passed on Paxton Lynch. I'm happy they passed on Lyle Jack. I don't know a ton about this guy, but he's supposed to be fast. The Jets needed speed, and I trust Todd Bowles' vision. We haven't had anybody who could get to the quarterback since John Abraham was in town. That was over a decade ago since they traded him to Atlanta. So maybe this is the guy. Their defense is going to be a hell of a lot better with a true pass rusher. Chris Wessling, the Indianapolis Colts, selected center Ryan Kelly out of Alabama, 18.
Another pick I love. Andrew Luck is the most hit quarterback in the NFL since he entered the league. They've not been able to fix their offensive line problems. This guy was the best interior lineman in the draft. And the Jeff Saturday to Andrew Luck's Peyton Manning.
Ooh, I like that. DJ really liked that one, too. He said, plug him in at center guard. He'll be a stud. Pittsburgh Steelers take a man named Artie Burns. It sounds like he's an 80-year-old man playing pinochle in Miami, but he's actually a young cornerback from Miami. The Steelers took him at 25, Greg.
I think he owns Vesuvio and Sopranos, Artie Burns, doesn't he? No.
Ooh, the bit cost you an analysis.
Oh.
Well,
I
got ejector seated out of that game.
Oh, did we?
I don't know. I give you a little Rams seat, and then it's go West, Greg, West, West, Greg,
hey,
West,
guess
Greg,
what?
West, Greg, West.
It's our podcast. We can talk whatever we want.
Yeah.
This Mark, less and less I want to say.
Pick a player.
No, I mean, yeah. You know what I like? The Bengals. Here's what I the
Wait, let Greg finish his
Finish
point,
your yeah. soliloquy.
Wow, what's the
soliloquy?
Artie Burns was a guy a lot of people didn't have in the first couple rounds. Boomer bust, like massive physical guy that the Steelers are just taking a chance on in the secondary. It feels like they always do this, and it never works with cornerbacks. They are terrible. They're terrible at taking secondary players, but they keep going after the same
type. Let's talk about one thing. The best playoff game from last year, Steelers-Bengals. Both teams still better. The Bengals didn't get their wide receiver, so they go and take William Jackson right before Pittsburgh picks another cornerback, and maybe that's the guy that Pittsburgh wanted. You stick it to the Steelers, and I can always get behind that.
Sessler fired up tonight, by the way.
You weren't in love with the 49ers either, that they traded back into the first round. Shout out to Connie Fox, by the way, for picking up some sandwiches on that one. 49ers
nice
taking two picks
us
in the first
round.
Well,
but DeForest Buckner, though.
Yeah.
That guy looks like an Old Testament hero. He's like a foot and a half taller than everyone else around him. He is a badass. I love that pick.
And guys in the Old Testament were like, 4'11".
I know, but there's always someone that emerges like 18 inches taller
like
than
Goliath?
Everyone else. Sure.
Am I crazy? Or he played with Eric Armstead in college, and they were
Twin Towers
wreckers in college. And Armstead was a good pick by them last year. Now you get them back together
so
again.
I
like that.
You got bookend Calais Campbell's now.
Something like that.
We should get out of here, but before we go, we'll dig into the.
No, I want to hear everyone go around the room and talk about Jermaine Afidi.
I only speak about him in private.
So do the Seahawks.
Well, it's the first round pick for the Seahawks.
No, I'm just kidding. I didn't really expecting.
We will get into the sandwich prop results on Saturday night show. That's when we'll be back after round seven. We should do a little bit of business. We gave the Irishman another chance to ask a question after his great disaster of last Monday. And the Irishman, why don't you throw it out there, Brandon? What is your prop, your proper prop?
Notre Dame linebacker Jalen Smith will be drafted in the first or second round.
All right, so we're halfway home in terms of this wager. Greg and I both took the Irishman up on that one. Wes and Mark sat it out.
No, we didn't.
No,
end up taking it.
No, we
did.
We both took it.
We did more research and came around.
You got jobbed a little bit by all the time, you know, that we had, because initially I was the only one that was going to take it.
And well, I just misunderstood.
I called these guys out for being chumps that you're just giving away sandwiches, and then they were like, oh, yeah, there's no chance Brandon's going to be right
about
it.
He's got
something called the sandwiches.
He's got something called drop foot.
Right. He literally made
– I'd say you played the game poorly, because had you just said, you know, I don't feel good about this, but I'm going to take it, I would have been like, I'm definitely not taking it. Then Greg was like, you fools. Yeah. And so I started to do more research.
Well, here's the difference.
Aves.
It doesn't take sandwiches to make way for me. As long as it's just given, you know, you can have your sandwiches. That's fine.
Dan, I have to tell you something real quick, though.
What?
I talked to my lovely mother after
yes.
I said that, and she said she listened to the podcast. And I was like, so what did you think about mine? All she sent back was, not mad, just disappointed.
Oh,
wow.
Yep, no joke.
Seems appropriate.
That's hilarious.
Thank you for the support on Reddit, though. Yeah. People saw where I was coming from.
Well,
about four of them.
That's good.
Yeah.
You found four people on the entire internet that actually liked that
those four
initial
people.
Prop.
I'm up to two hands now.
Those four people will never be allowed to make lunch propositions.
All right. So we'll track that one. Yeah, we'll go through the rest of them on Saturday's show. Maybe, I don't know if we'll be able to do it, Kevin Patra, who is in Chicago. Kevin Patra coming at you. Maybe we get him on the line Saturday, but there's a good chance he'll be very drunk by the time we wrap up our report. Well,
Mark once said he drinks by 10:30 in the morning.
Well, he's working all day. He better not be drinking at 10:30 in the morning. He's writing posts.
I don't know if he'll be drunk, I should say, but I think he made a comment that he would be in a bar when we were actually recording.
That's
on
true,
Saturday.
Because we have to write.
I assume he'll be drunk at the bar.
It's a very safe bet.
Which is fine.
Wager on your
just
part.
Don't wear the gas mask. All right. We'll be back on Saturday night with a complete draft. Recap. We'll do some winners and losers. We'll check out our sandwich props. It's going to be a great time. Thank you to everyone for listening. Make sure to check us out on iTunes and leave comments and 5-star ratings. Let's goose the iTunes machine. Hashtag iTunes challenge. That's it for today's show. This is Dan Hanza signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman, the boss, and the Irishman behind the glass. Till the weekend! Full of heart from start to finish, delivers on the great tension of the NFL draft, while showing how human the entire process is. Mark Sessler, NFL.com.
You're out of your mind.
Yeah, I am. Haven't I proved that already?